So the kind of comment that Sangharakshita made in the seminar about Harkwin kind of started to change my attitude to the Zen tradition. I thought, well, this sounds interesting. This sounds well worth looking into. And sometime between 76 and 78, it was after I was ordained. I'd only just been ordained. Something else happened to change my attitude. In those days, we didn't have, you know, the really fancy Dharma life that, you know, is nicely produced and beautiful and all the rest of it. We had what we called the FWBO newsletter. That was our periodical, which used to get typed and, you know, done on one of those machines, or printed very kind of roughly. Bhante went through a period in this very humble journal of ours, which mostly included news of jumble sales and sponsored walks and things like that, because that was the way we raised money. He went through a period of writing reviews for it, which were actually long articles, fantastic reviews. Some of his best writing, I think, is in some of these reviews. They are actually collected in a book now. And these were reviews that were sent to us on different Buddhist texts. And not just Buddhist texts, sometimes he'd do reviews on a book on D.H. Lawrence, for example, or something on Blake. Whatever took his fancy, but he was really into writing reviews. And sometime between 76 and 78, he wrote a review on some new books on Zen that had come out, a whole bundle of them, mostly by modern teachers. But most important of all in his review was Thomas and J.C. Cleary's translation of the great Chan classic from Tang Dynasty China, The Blue Cliff Record, The Blue Cliff Record. And Sangharakshita was obviously very inspired by this text when he looked at the review. And he said, when I was talking to him about it, he used it as a sort of touchstone to assess the other books he was reviewing, books by Rajneesh, Thomas Merton and others, a kind of touchstone. He kind of compared them with a Chan, a Zen classic. And they didn't kind of brush up too well, it has to be said. The Blue Cliff Record is a collection of anecdotes mostly describing the communication between a great Chinese Chan master and his disciple, or another master. And these anecdotes are quite short, and they're often quite strange, indeed very strange. They describe a rather esoteric communication between those who are deadly serious about Buddhist practice. These people are mostly monks, foot-going Chan travellers, patrobe monks as they were called, who would wander from place to place to do kind of Dharma battle with the great masters of the day. Or they'd involve hermits or very serious lay people, lay practitioners. And as Sangharakshita pointed out in his review, the masters and disciples in this great classic, for the most part, are only interested in one thing. They're only interested in the great matter, awakening, enlightenment. Nothing else. Nothing else. And most of the anecdotes are from the Tang Dynasty, the golden age of Chan, as it's called. Although there are some earlier anecdotes and even some little pieces from the Indian Buddhist scriptures. And the anecdotes are called in Chinese Kung An, which literally means public case. It's a kind of legal term. They're a sort of precedent, a kind of, you know, using the metaphor of a sort of precedent for, you know, for the example of, as an example, holding up an example, a precedent for exemplary communication between masters. So they become, therefore, for later generations of Chan and Zen practitioners, subjects of meditation and contemplation. You have to probe into these stories to understand them. Of course, the understanding is not an intellectual understanding. You penetrate them in order to attain awakening. And the Blue Cliff Record, the collection, the Blue Cliff Record, doesn't just give these anecdotes. It also gives a verse commentary by somebody named Sui Tu, which is very strange, very strange. And both the story and the verses are commented on and prefaced by the book's compiler, Yuan Wu. And the commentaries kind of do a little bit of explanation. They do shed some light. But what they're really doing is pointing you in directions, pointing into areas to contemplate and trying to disrupt facile interpretations. So the explanations, you read them, you think, I can get a feeling for that. And then the next line just trips you up, just throws you, just disrupts you. Anyway, Sangharakshita was very, very taken by this book. For him, a whole world was evoked, a world of masters and disciples, a world of mountain monasteries, a world of foot-travelling patched road monks, a world of Chan travellers. He was obviously really inspired because he felt moved to poetry. And in that old FWBO newsletter, he inserted into the review two poems evoking the spirit of the Blue Cliff record. So I'll just read them to you. The Blue Cliff rises high into the air. Below it is wrapped in mist. Above it is shrouded in cloud. What use is a path up the sheer side if, however far you climb, you can never reach the top? 100 peaks behind, 100 peaks before. All at once, the Blue Cliff rises in the distance. Birds disappear into the mist. Monkeys' cries are lost in the silence. Darkness gathers, and there is still a long way to go.